are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, the daily podcast covering everything you want to know about the association. On Wednesdays, I'm your co-host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I'm John Corrales. I'm Reds Army underscore John on Twitter, and I host the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You know, we had a marquee game to end the night's worth of action. Six games in the NBA, and then you get Suns Lakers at the end of it. And I was so excited for this one. Like, really,
I'm very excited,
for
this game.
To stay up late and watch this game.
This is a great game to finish the night. You've got LeBron, you've got Devin Booker. I'm excited to watch these two guys go battle it out down
the
stretch. Just an awesome. I'm looking forward to this, Jake. Watching these guys go down to the wire.
Could not wait.
Devin Booker and LeBron James. I'm excited about this.
Yeah. And then we got the Tyler Ford show. Tyler Ford is not a name. By the way, Tyler Ford, what are his stats on the Lakers, right? That's who he plays for. Or does he play for the Suns? What's his points per game, his rebounds, his assists?
Yes, you know, there's somewhere out there that can tell you.
Yeah. Tyler Ford is a referee. And we should not be talking about him nearly as much as we are. But we have to lead with this because Devin Booker, with about 7 minutes left to go in the third quarter, gets tossed on. And look, we're recording this. It's after midnight. So technically it's Wednesday. So maybe some stuff will have come out about what he said to the refs after the fact. I haven't seen a pool report on this. But he picked up two quick technicals, like literally within 2 seconds of each other. And they tossed him from this game for what looks like just BS reasons. And this leads to the larger discussion we want to have here in the first segment of the show. I think the NBA's got a refereeing problem.
Yes. Yes, they do. This ejection was, I think, overly sensitive officials.
Yes.
First of all, like, I forget who the official was that got the ball bounced to him. I haven't seen a pool report either. From what I can gather, Devin Booker said something. He said a magic word that got him a technical foul. Okay, fine. Now, in that situation, what are the referees supposed to do? Like, he wasn't showing them up. He wasn't going crazy. You've given him the technical foul. He bounced past. It was a hard bounce pass. I get it. I think it was Mark Davis.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Mark Davis didn't react at all. He just caught the ball.
No,
and
it
didn't
was like
react.
It was no big deal.
The other referee saw it and called the tech. If anybody's going to determine how Devin Booker forcefully threw the ball to Mark Davis, it's Mark Davis, not this guy who saw it and knee-jerk tossed a young star player from a nationally televised game.
Two-time
All-Star. This is not what the league wants. This is not what the league is. We're talking about ratings being down, and you throw a guy out over that? Like, that's craziness. I'm not saying protect the stars. Like, Draymond gets protected, I think, goes the other way. Super demonstrative, and he probably should get tossed a little more often sometimes. But I think that there's this overly sensitive refereeing going on here when it pertains to this, that they're not taking everything into account. They're not letting these guys be emotional. It's not good.
Yeah. It's not good. You hit on the magic point about why this matters. Like, normally, like whatever, bad calls happen and you deal with them. I've seen it with Zion this year. Like, no one has any idea how to officiate him and how much he gets hacked below the basket and probably doesn't go to the free throw line enough. The reason this is a big problem is, you mentioned it, it's ratings, right? Like, everyone's trying to figure out why ratings are down. And I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that we've seen. Like, I don't think it's the social justice issues and players talking about that stuff.
Definitely
I think
not.
There's something else here. And everyone's trying to kind of find the magic bullet for what this is. If we considered that Adam Silver has a referee disaster on his hands. It's beyond the just tossing a young player that I wanted to see go down the stretch and duel with LeBron James. Cause you were kind of, we were kind of getting set up for this. The Suns ended up kind of running away with it towards the end. And we should be talking about this, right? We should be talking about the fact that for the most part, this was an awesome game. And let's break down the on-court performance, but the referees have taken the conversation away from us. We can't do it now because this is the main thing. And we got to hit the story of this game. And when you look at all of the reviews that are happening that feel like there's more going on right now, it slows the flow of the game down. It's like when you're watching, you know, an NFL game and they're reviewing whether it was a yard short or, you know, a yard further. And it like just sucks the flow and life out of a game. And you saw that a couple times here too, with reviews that just killed the back and forth action on things that like ultimately didn't matter. And you kind of wonder like, why are the refs reviewing this, right? Like in the flow of the right. game, like, yes, you want to get calls right. But I think people do understand that every now and then a call is not perfect. Refs are human after all. But when you stop to review everything, it makes the product out there on the court unfun to watch. And you got a lot of that in what should have been a really fun game.
Right. When it comes to the reviews, they need to overhaul. Because I want the calls to be right. I do want the calls to be right. I want sure. there to be a review. But I also don't see a reason why the league can't start reviewing. Have the review officials somewhere either bring another review official to the game and put them up in a box somewhere, or have the people back in New Jersey somewhere where when a ball goes out of bounds, that person is immediately starting to look and say, okay, what? So by the time the officials twirl their finger, by the time
like finish their huddle about what right, happened, they have an idea of what the call is.
Right. So by the time they get to the review, the actual screen, they put the headphone on and that official goes, Celtics ball, you know, boom, done. Like they've seen it. It's, you know, here's the review. Even if they want confirmation, like here's the review that tells me it's, you know, Pelicans ball. Great. You know, boom, done. That just streamlines the process. You go, you confirm it, you move on next.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And it doesn't just, again, sucks the life out of the games. Is there anything, look, I want the calls right too, but is there anything worse than like any sporting event? And it's in soccer too with VAR, right? That sucks the life more out of a game and just makes it unfun to watch than reviews to see whether a call is right or not. And it's the worst is when you confirm a blatantly obvious call that we didn't need. Like, oh, sometimes it's obvious and you know. Why are we spending 5 minutes reviewing something?
Right. That's the other problem, is that the referees need to tell the guys on the floor, shut up. Like the Celtics played the Clippers, and we'll talk about that later. But every time the Clippers play, there's one point in the game where Patrick Beverley nearly dislocates his elbow calling for a review. Once a game, it's going to happen for sure. And what really pisses me off about the referees when it comes to this is they've made their call. They're pretty confident in their call. And then they, because the players are so blatantly protesting, they go, okay, shut up. We'll go review it. And then that just confirms the call that they made. Like, just
we knew it too. Like, we already saw it.
Sack.
Sometimes it's like you just look up at the Jumbotron in an arena. You're like, yeah, that was the right call. And cool, we've moved on. I did the reviews for you right there. We just don't need to slow the game down and go to the video as much as we're doing. Or there's got to be a better way. But it also ties into something that came out in The Athletic when they were talking about Lloyd Pierce being fired from the Atlanta Hawks. And I'm going to read the quote here. And it goes, quote, during a league office competition committee call on December 30th, Lloyd Pierce was among a couple of members who spoke out about the way certain players are able to draw fouls and at times bait officials into making foul calls. Multiple sources said he spoke about how he, quote, hates, end quote, the shots Trae Young takes at times and the fouls he's able to draw on him. It was perceived as an interesting comment and, yeah, seriously, for several people on the call because Pierce's star player has seemingly taken advantage of drawing fouls and getting to the foul line. But it was made in the broader picture of how players are drawing fouls by manipulating their bodies, end quote. So, like, look, go listen to Locked On Hawks because they are covering the hell out of Lloyd Pierce being fired, and there's a lot going on there, and this game was interesting. No John Collins in the fourth. Trae Young exploded after being held to 5 points. But you hated what you saw late in one of these plays, John, where Trae Young got to the free throw line for three shots on a 3-point foul.
Just classic. And he's not alone. I've seen it happen tons where the offensive player up fakes from 3 feet away from the defender. The defender jumps, sometimes jumps forward. And then
in this case, it was Dragic on Trae Young.
Dragic jumps forward. And then the shooter dives forward into the player and gets the shooting foul, which, I mean, I'm trying to compose myself. I don't know if it's come across in this entire segment, how much I'm trying to compose myself and not go off into just.
You're trying to also not go like all old man on us.
Tangents.
Right now, too,
yeah. Like,
I think.
Right. Because, you know, back in my day, but like seriously, like
but seriously, back in my day,
but seriously, back in my day, no, the what's worse is the guy who jumps and the defender just glides by him on the side and they jump sideways into that guy. That those two plays, it's pretty clear that the player is not taking a jump shot. We are all watching games. These officials officiate games every freaking night. You've seen Trae Young take a jumper every damn night of your professional life, and not once has he shot a shot like that with nobody guarding him. And you're going to give him a shooting foul on that? Dragic did jump into him. It should have been a foul on the floor. Should have been a foul on the floor.
It shouldn't have been.
I don't know if they were in the penalty, but it should not have been a 3-point shot. Should not have been free throws.
Yeah, it just speaks to the larger issue of, like, one, does anyone know what a flagrant is anymore?
No.
Like, we have some criteria, but not really, right? Like,
or a clear pass.
No one knows what's going on. Like, you have the issue with these refs having just a quick hook. Like, they ejected J.J. Redick from Pel's game because he bounced the ball too hard at him when he just bounced the ball after, like, a foul call or something. And it was, like, no big deal. And they just shot him out of there, kind of like what they did to Devin Booker. And, like, this isn't what you want. Like, you don't want – NBA, you don't want us talking about this, but it's the story right now because of just the mess that the officiating is in the league. And as we hit the All-Star break, Silver's got to be on the phone with someone about this.
Jay Crowder, going back to the Booker thing, explains a little bit more here. Crowder said Booker took issue with the first tech. Booker took issue with the first tech and voiced his opinion on the first tech. And as he was complaining about the first tech, the ref behind him called the second tech. So it was not on the pass to Mark Davis. He said something else about that first tech, which to me, honestly, is worse. Like, that's just let the guy talk. Like, what could he have possibly said in that moment that, unless he insulted the ref's wife or something? Like,
yeah, no, I'm with you. You're allowed to have emotion in the game. That's it. It's part of it. The NBA, we could sum it up, has a ref issue. So that's enough on that, because otherwise we're just going to yell and scream the rest of the show today. And we've got other things. Literally, the screen was shaking there. That was kind of cool. That was a good effect on everything. And we'll see when the pool report comes out later. But honestly, those pool reports don't really tend to have anything of value in them. So coming up are the Boston Celtics back, and we recap the rest of the action throughout the games here in the NBA tonight. But before we do that, today's show is brought to you by CBDMD. John, you know, March is National Sleep Month, and as the official CBD of a good night's sleep, our good friends at CBDMD want to help you celebrate the right way. They've got dozens of options to help you relax, recharge, and enhance your nighttime routine. And there's nothing more calming than a nice hot bath. CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with a mixture of Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bathtub into a luxurious spa experience. You can choose from lavender or eucalyptus scents, or a soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. And with CBD bath bombs, they provide a refreshing, relaxing bath experience by combining 100 milligrams of CBD with essential oils, Epsom salts, and calming natural scents to help you soak away the day. I use CBD treats for my dog because she has horrible, horrible anxiety and freaks out all the time. One treat, it's like a different animal. And frankly, she's probably feeling better than she's ever felt before. And I want to treat my best friend that way. So to make it even easier for us to relax or our furry friends to relax, regroup, and recharge, CBDMD is offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's cbdmd.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the two top teams in the NBA's Western Conference battle it out before the All-Star break. Will the Suns and Lakers meet again in the Western Conference Finals? That's the big story on Locked On Today, a new podcast covering all your sports in less than 20 minutes. So subscribe to the Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, they'll probably dive into more of the game than we did because the refs were such a big issue with that one. And like, it's great. Good. No, another tool. Make sure you guys check it out. That's been like an essential part of my listening just to kind of catch up on all sports news just around the league. Other big story of the night, though, your Boston Celtics beat the Los Angeles Clippers with no Kawhi Leonard. It's worth noting 117-112. That's a 3-game winning streak for the Celtics. They back?
They back-ish. No Kawhi. Marcus Morris left the game with a concussion in the second quarter, an inadvertent elbow from Jaylen Brown. So hopefully Marcus Morris does okay and he's not spending too much time in the concussion protocol. But look, the Celtics have needed these wins. They came out of a very, very tough stretch where they lost 8 of 11. And Brad Stevens put a lot of pressure on the team to win these, do well at least in these next four games. So now it's a 3-game winning streak. It was a back and forth game against the Clippers. It started out as a Jaylen Brown, Paul George duel. Then Robert Williams had a huge fourth quarter for the Celtics and really was at the center of a lot of the things that were going well. Are the Celtics back? No, but what they are is not fatigued. They've been at home. Brad Stevens after the game said, look, we've slept in our own beds for 5 days. That matters. And that means those collapses that they had, you saw it against the Pelicans.
Yep.
They just no legs. They sucked against Dallas and tried to come back, but Luka, you know, put them away. Now in these games, in this winning streak, they're at least fighting. They're at least playing hard. The bench is playing better. They are getting contributions from around their roster, and it's not all Jason Tatum. It's not all Jaylen Brown. Kemba Walker looks good. That's another.
He's had a good stretch of games, I thought, right? He's been pretty good and kind of playing to his standard of play over the past week or so.
Yeah, I think, and I'm trying to look up these stats that I looked up for Kemba Walker in the piece that I wrote on Boston Sports Journal. But Kemba, in his first 7 games back, 15 points, 36.5% shooting, 30% from three. In his last 4 games, 24.8 points per game, 44.5% shooting, 42.5% from three. So shockingly, a guy coming back from a knee issue and slowly rehabbing and coming off of a minutes restriction is going to need time to get back. So the Celtics are going to get Marcus Smart back. The Celtics are going to get Romeo Langford back after the All-Star break. They're at least starting to put some things together. They're still not a top tier East team. That belongs to Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Philly. But what the Celtics have shown, and what I think I've been consistent in saying they were going to be this year, is probably and at the top of that next tier of teams. And I think with their good health and some more home games, they can start to separate themselves from the Miamis and Indianas and New Yorks and those teams in that next tier.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to put it. Look, getting into the All-Star break, which is like a little bit of momentum, feels like a win for them kind of where they were at one point, and like the fan base ready to revolt given everything that was going on. So I think a lot of teams would love to have more momentum going into this All-Star break and kind of feeling good about that. One of those teams, the other couple of games here in the NBA last night, Memphis taking on the Washington Wizards, winning 125-111. This guarantees that Memphis is going to be at least 500 heading into the All-Star break. And Ja Morant put up 35-10 in this game on 11 of 18 shooting. Basically, just kind of one of those stud kind of nights. And let's hope for the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, the Wizards, you know, they got 23 from Beal. They got 23 from Westbrook. But they're sliding a little bit. they've lost what, I forget how many, a couple of games in a row here. I know they just lost to the
this
Celtics.
Is their second in a row after that five-game winning streak they had. They're kind of back
seven
to
of
being
eight.
Like, yeah, 500 or so now.
Yeah, so you know they get 23, which is a really low night for Bradley Beal, who had been just, you know, he leads the NBA in scoring, and he dropped like 46 against the Celtics. So 8 of 18 shooting for him, but a minus 25 for Beal. Westbrook, 23 points, 15 assists, 6 rebounds.
And they lose. But, shocking.
And they lose. That's kind of how it goes for the Wizards.
Yep. And the New York Knicks, the really good New York Knicks, right? Well, they got blown out by the San Antonio Spurs, 93-119 in this one. Just not the Knicks night. Julius Randle finished with just 14 points on the night. 6 of 16 shooting, just not being efficient whatsoever in this one. Emmanuel quickly off the bench, hit 6 threes though and wrapped to 26 points. But Spurs just well-rounded and well-coached. That's kind of all you need to say about them to a degree.
Yeah, this is what they call a balanced attack in the business. Yeah. 18 points from Trey Lyles, 17 from DeJounte Murray, 14 from Patty Mills. They got a bunch of guys. What'd they have? 6 guys in double figures.
Yep.
That's classic Spurs. Classic Spurs.
Look, they're 5 games above 500 and they don't have an all-star. And this is why like in Pop we trust, right? This is why you just
don't rule
this team out. Like, it's just the definition of why when you hear, like, John and I refuse to always rule out this team, despite when people are like, oh, they're dead, they're not going to do anything. They were kind of good in the bubble too, like didn't make it into the play and stuff, but they were kind of right there. And it's like, yeah, I trust Greg Popovich with almost anything probably at this point. And then final game to cover on the night, the Nuggets all over the Milwaukee Bucks, 128-97. There's not enough superlatives to use about Nikola Jokic. 37 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. He shot 15 of 23, made 2 threes, and was perfect from the charity stripe. Dude is special. Like, at a certain point, we need to kind of turn our eyes on him a little bit more. He gets a ton of attention.
Yeah, like, people just know that Jokic, like, yeah, Jokic is really good. And look, yeah, Jokic will have these triple doubles. But again, just
everything
speaking from
in this game,
the Nuggets recently came through Boston. It's funny just to see how many people, you know, they're only watching Celtics games and you don't get to see a ton of Jokic, maybe once or twice on TNT or something, but he was just hitting all kinds of crazy shots. Things that just didn't make sense, like the spin moves that he was making,
yep,
the high arcing step back. Like, you look at it, you're like, well, that shouldn't go in. Oh, that money. It's money. And he does it every time. He's kind of like, because he's in Denver and just not enough people pay attention to the Nuggets, no matter what, no matter how good they are, they just are one of those good teams that gets overlooked. He's not a flashy wing. He's not a flashy wing dunker. And, you know, big soft guys who throw passes like he does are, you know, fun to watch, but like, they're not going to be dunk, you know, the dunk highlights like Anthony Edwards. So I agree. We need to really elevate Jokic higher than his standing, because he's like a top 3 MVP candidate.
Yeah. He's probably like a fringe MVP candidate this season. Like, you wouldn't put him at the top, but maybe he should be kind of in that conversation a little bit more.
Where would they be without him?
Nowhere.
Where would the Nuggets be without
him?
It's
a really
good
point.
They're the seventh seed. They're 20-15. Now, people say, oh, seventh. They're 20-15 in a league where half the league seems to be hovering around 500. They're 20-15, and it's like all Jokic. They would be, what, 10-25?
Yeah, they'd be one of the worst teams in the league.
He is – I mean, obviously LeBron, obviously we'll talk about Harden in a bit, but like, Jokic is right there.
Yeah, he's been that good. For the Bucks, who were really disappointing in this game, just an awful night. You had Giannis with 27, Middleton with 20. Brooke Lopez, the only other person in double figures with 12. Just got no help anywhere. They also shot 27.5% from three. That's not going to get it done. And they lose, and Jokic is awesome. So that's it for the night of action in the NBA. But we want to preview something tomorrow because Houston has James Harden coming to town, and I've got an incredible statistic. He's got a chance to like complete a set here in this game tonight. So we'll talk about that coming up here in just a second on Locked On NBA. Today's episode of Locked On NBA brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. We're going to do this a little bit differently today, John, because it's March.
Yeah.
I love brackets and doing everything. And you know what? Built Bar has so many really good flavors. They can do a bracket, and they're going to do a bracket based on all of the unbelievable flavors. I'll give you first choice here. What's the number one seed Built Bar flavor you're picking?
Oh, I mean, I got to go with my peanut butter, man. Like, peanut butter is the goat flavor. The peanut butter with the chocolate, it's like a Reese's peanut butter cup, man. That combination is classic. It's like the Duke of flavors. It's just perennially there.
It's just always there. It's always reliable. It's always good. You're not going to go wrong with it. I agree with you on that. But look, this is a special year. You know, all of these bars are going to be fighting it out in one location here. I've got to go with that special edition flavor that we got to try, which was the coconut brownie chunk that was like light and airy, and the consistency was really different. If I can't pick one of the special edition flavors, I'm digging the mint brownie right now, which basically just tastes like mint chocolate ice cream, but actually good for you and not terrible for you, because you know what? Built Bars are good for you because they are low in calories, low in sugar, high in protein, high in fiber. They're great for the keto diet. Some have just 130 calories and 17 grams of protein, so you're not wasting all of the cardio that you just had. So let us know and let Built Bar know what your number one seeded Built Bar flavor may be. And if you want to give them a try, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON20, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
And today's podcast also brought to you by Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. I know football's done, but you've got the NBA, in-game NBA betting, college basketball, the real March Madness around the corner, hockey if you're into that, baseball is coming up. If you don't want to bet on sports, TV shows, you could have bet on the Golden Globes, reality TV. They've got everything, real-time, updated odds, props, and almost anything you can imagine. Go to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's free money. Whatever you deposit, you want to drop $200 in there, they're going to give you a $100 welcome bonus. That's how it works. It's free to sign up at Bet Online. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. March Madness is only a few weeks away. That's mind blowing that it's only a few weeks away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. So get a head start on this year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast, Draft Guru Chad Ford. He's released his Big Board 2.0 with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get your podcast.
So we've got a fun game in the NBA tonight, and that is the return of James Harden to Houston, with the Nets taking on the Rockets in Houston tonight. James Harden, we know, prolific scorer, but this comes from Jackson Gatlin of Locked On Rockets, the host there, with just an insane statistic that I did not even realize. So Harden is, I think it's safe to say, one of the best scorers in NBA history, right? Like, I don't think there's like anything wrong with that.
Yeah, fair to say.
it's not a hot take, not out on a limb here. So James Harden has scored at least 40 points against every single NBA team, except the Houston Rockets, which is kind of incredible. Now, he's played for the Rockets for a really long time. When he was in OKC before being traded there, he wasn't quite the same player that he is. So that one makes sense. His career high against the Houston Rockets is 23 points. Safe bet that he's going to try and put up 40 against his former team tonight and complete the set. Like, I don't even know what you call this, right?
I don't know what you call it, but I think it's the safest bet. Let me see if it's on betonline.ag.
Oh man. Like, just take the over on points for him. Like, they are just going to feed him the ball. Like, so just by itself, that's bonkers to me. 40 points against every NBA team.
Right. And then, so I think he's going to try to go for his career high. I think he's going to try to go for 62 in this game, because 61, okay, so he's at 61 against the Knicks and Spurs.
And Spurs.
Yeah. I think he's going to try to go for 62 against the Rockets.
I would not be shocked. Yeah, of course he can do it. Have you not seen the Rockets recently? Like, they are in full-on tank mode and panic mode. And after that, like, energy bump you get from – like trading him away and like the spite factor that they went on a little bit of a winning streak. And look, you saw it with the Hawks tonight against, or last night against the Miami Heat, beating them too in Nate McMillan's debut. Also credit to the Charlotte Hornets, who have held him to his career low against a team of just 40 points. So good on you, Hornets.
The lowest career high. Good for them. Yeah. Good for them. I'm just, looking at James Harden play in Brooklyn, I think that he's taken basically all the great elements of his game, like all of the good years that he's had in Houston, and he's just kind of wrapped them up into maybe his best season. Now, he's not scoring at the level that he was in, you know, a few years ago when he was averaging over 30, but he's averaging 25 points a game as a Brooklyn Net. He's shooting 49%, which is the highest except for 1 year in OKC. He's shooting almost 42% from three. It's the only time he's ever shot more than 40% from three. It's just overall, his assist numbers.
I was going to say, he's also averaging over 11 assists per game. Let's not discount that either.
11.3 is by a tick the highest he's ever had, his highest assist average ever. 8.7 rebounds, his highest rebounding average ever. He's doing all of these other things, and it's not just all the one thing that I've been most critical about him. It's that hypnotic dribble, 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 wait.
Yep.
He's actually doing all of the great things. He's not just diving into the lane, trying to get free throw attempts. In fact, he's only shooting 6.6 free throws per game. That's his lowest since OKC. So he's not just driving up his numbers by hunting for fouls, which to me was the biggest drawback aesthetically from James Harden, from his game. So this James Harden is playing, I think, his best overall game as a Net. Better stylistically, better execution, better as far as helping his team. It's just all amazing. And we were talking about this over text, trying to plot out the show. You said it. He's playing his way into the MVP conversation.
Yeah. You know, like when I look at his game right now, it's got to be his, and he's just as prolific of a scorer as we've ever seen. He's playing his most efficient season. Like, I think that's kind of what you're kind of trying to
basically
say.
Basically, right?
When you
to.
Look at it, is he's refined himself into kind of shedding some of that excess, some of the fluff around it that makes things look good, but I don't know if that ultimately like helps you win to some degree. And he's become a much more efficient basketball player. And we love stuff like that. And right. He's doing all of this with not nearly as many shot attempts as he has in the past. It probably helps that when you have Kyrie Irving as a teammate and some of these other guys, they've got, you know, Bruce Bowen, who's just playing out of his mind during the stretch. Joe Harris is a shooter there. Like, he's surrounded it in a position where he will be able to succeed if he wants to. And that's part of him, right? If he wants to, he's on his best behavior here in Brooklyn right now, doing his best to kind of fit in. You always kind of get that bump after a trade, right? With guys who could be difficult, you know, and so you're in that honeymoon phase with him right now. And my God, they should ride that out as far as they can. I'm curious though, what it's going to look like when Kevin Durant comes back. Does this change things? What wrench does it throw in? Because they've played less than 200 minutes, all of those guys together. That's going to be a problem kind of trying to figure that out and sorting all of that out.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm looking at his advanced numbers here. His usage rate is at 26.9. It's the lowest non-OKC number. So basically, since becoming a star player, it's his lowest usage rate. And by the way, his highest true shooting percentage at 64.5. So when you talk about efficiency, there it is right there, the numbers we're seeing in Brooklyn. That makes me think he can keep it up, because the usage rate is low And that means that he's kind of integrating himself in with Kyrie and with KD. So when KD comes back, it seems like Harden is willing to just kind of, and he has been, willing to step back, willing to do a little bit less, willing to pass a little bit more. And the efficiency numbers, the true shooting numbers, show that the shots that he's taking are better shots. Yep. He's the shots that the space that he's getting with his those teammates that he has are creating shots that, like, part of why he did what he did in Houston, and even though I didn't like to watch it, is because he was kind of like the only guy, you know, even though he had like some good teammates, but he was still like the only, like, real guy.
No, he was. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, the roster construction around him was, you know, it was built to his strength and it was designed for that. So that's part of it, right? But it wasn't like you could completely rely on someone else if he were to have an off night. Like, he had to carry the team. He doesn't quite have to do the exact same thing here. And I think that helps him. And look, we love when dudes get more efficient. Like, we love this sort of thing. Like, it just means everyone else around them can step up and be better. And that is a huge, huge thing. So overall, when you look at how he's playing, like, yeah, you've got to consider him to be in the MVP conversation. And by the end of the year, this MVP conversation might be really crowded, I think, to some degree. But it's fun to see Harden just, I don't know, like, we've talked about this a lot. Like, they had to get rid of him. He was going to end up doing something like this. And yeah, would not be shocked if he goes for what, 62, 63 in tonight's game.
Yeah. I would not be shocked by anything. Isn't it scary? Is more efficient James Harden is probably the scariest phrase.
Oh man, he's so good right now.
This really is. He really is. I know, speaking on behalf of East competition, you got to hope that the Kevin Durant reintegration takes enough away from Harden that maybe it creates a little bit of tension, but I don't think so. And really, probably the worst, not. The maybe even scarier than efficient James Harden is the Brooklyn Nets playing better defensively, which we've seen
they can do when they want to.
Right. And it goes back to the thing. Every time we talk about this, I always bring up the same thing. They don't have to be good defensively. They just have to be good situationally defensively. So, and if they can do it in spots when they want to try, AKA fourth quarters, then they can do a lot of damage this year. And it's really scary.
And James Harden's probably going to do a lot of damage tonight. And honestly, I'm pretty excited to watch this one. I won't lie.
Fun.
These kind of like revenge games, fun game. Like, I'm excited. This should be a really fun one. Hope you all enjoy it too. That's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. Thank you all very much for listening. On Wednesdays, I'm your co-host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I'm John Corrales, at @RedsArmy_John on Twitter, and I host the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with you all next week.